Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern that you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code BROS. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplements that you can only get high on. We're done with that, all right? Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for, whether that's the Mind Magic gummies for deep work and creativity, or the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, but Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get to that perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code BROS. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use the promo code BROS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Postmates. Download the Postmates app today and use the promo code Drinking Bros and get $100 in free delivery. Download the Postmate app today. And don't forget, guys, Drinking Bros Sports has its own feed, podcast-wise and YouTube-wise. Subscribe to Drinking Bros Sports on YouTube. Subscribe to Drinking Bros Sports Podcast, wherever you can find your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff. Please, please rate the show a 5-star and leave a quick review. That's what helps move us up the charts on iTunes. I think Spotify, we're maybe number 35 or 36 in the world for sports. But iTunes, we are not, simply because we don't have enough reviews and 5-star ratings. So do that. I know we've been soliciting that a lot lately, but it really, really helps. And again, all of our sports have moved, except for today. Look, it was a big deal that the Browns won their first playoff game in a while. We thought we'd have Joe Thomas on the regular feed and also let you know that we have moved feeds. So please go there. Yes. Welcome to Drinking Bros Podcast. Once again, live from Miami, Florida, at the bloodbath of the national championship last night, where my beloved Ohio State Buckeyes took a beating. Took a beating last night, but luckily, we have one of the kings of Ohio here from a team that actually did win over the weekend, the Cleveland Browns. Mr. Joe Thomas is here. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah.
Man, look at you. You're strapping. Have you lost a bunch of weight since leaving the league?
I did. I lost maybe 60 or 70 pounds. That was the big thing for me. I wanted to shed some weight so the joints felt a little bit better when I woke up in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of joints, I'll be right back.
Yeah. Dan smokes marijuana live pretty much every day.
No, this is CBD, bro.
Is it really?
No, motherfucker. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ. Be reasonable, Ross. I don't have time for this shit today. I got things to do.
I know you don't. Joe, were you surprised it's Sunday, the beating of the Steelers like that? I mean, we host a huge sports show. Mybookie.com is one of our sponsors. I told the audience to go all in. It was my lock of the week on the Steelers.
Oh, ouchies. You lost a few followers after that game.
So. I lost a few zeros in the bank account after that game. It was brutal, man. But, you know, 28-0 in the first quarter. It's hard to look at it and not be shocked, I guess.
Yeah, I mean... after the first quarter, they were on pace to win, 112-0? And you have to say that's probably the most shocking playoff game that we can remember in recent history. But I wasn't surprised the Browns won, because as soon as Juju Smith-Schuster started spouting his mouth off about how basically the Browns are still the crappy old Browns that we've been whooping up on for years, and that we're not really worried about them, I knew that they were taking it too lightly. I think he had forgotten that into the playoffs, the Steelers had lost four out of the last five games.
Yep.
But I was actually feeling pretty good about the Browns' chances. Now, I didn't think it was going to be 28-0 at the end of the first quarter, and they were basically going to be trying to run out the clock from halftime on, but I'll take it any way I can get it.
No, and I get it, man. We have a ton of Browns fans who are, you know, listeners and diehards. Phil Sees is one of them. He's one of my best friends, and he went viral a couple years ago. He was the guy that was crying in the bar when you guys drafted Johnny Manziel.
Which was that guy? That was an appropriate response, by the way.
Yeah, he was excited.
After he was drafted and after he got cut. So the good news is you don't have to change the response there.
It's true, but I mean, you know, the Juju comments about the Browns being the Browns, like, dude, you played there for 11 seasons, I think it was?
Yeah.
Were you a Pro Bowler every single season?
I made the Pro Bowl every year until my final season. I tore my tricep tendon mid-year, and then I did not make the Pro Bowl.
Man, you're one of the best who's ever done it, in my opinion, but and you're also beloved by that city. Like, everybody loves you there. With this team, how far do you think they can go? I saw something with you on TMZ yesterday saying Browns by 10 over the Chiefs this weekend.
You know, I'm not exactly sure I would take that to my bookie, but since I'm a network employee, I don't have the ability to bet on football. So, yeah, go ahead, Browns by 10. But no, seriously, like the NFL playoffs, it's not like basketball, where basically you know who the final two, maybe three or four teams are going to be. In football, once you're into the playoffs, because it's single elimination and because it's the any given Sunday philosophy in the NFL, you saw what happened with the Browns and the Steelers. You never know who's going to make it, who's not going to make it. So I wouldn't count any team out, no matter who you are.
Yeah, that's we just saw this week what happens when you don't take them seriously, right? And this is going to be an interesting week. Hopefully the entire Kansas City coaching staff is in their players' ears and be like, hey, guys, what the fuck? Don't do what you do. Don't be the fucking 2016-17 Warriors and go down by 15 going into the last quarter. That's not how we're going to play this, because if they come out lackadaisical against Cleveland, obviously they can put up points. They've got one of the most dynamic running back tandems in the league. They have people that can go fucking deep. And say what you want about Baker Mayfield, he is a winner. I don't think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback at any point by the standards that we measure great quarterbacks, quote unquote, but he does win games. That kind of like a Russell Wilson guy, I guess, early in his career. He's found a way to win games. And if they take him lightly, they're going to lose the game. And that would be, how fucking crazy would that be if the Browns beat the fucking Chiefs? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. The upset of the Browns over the Steelers was a big point to knock off the Super Bowl champs. But I think you made a good point. Like, the Chiefs' one weakness is their defense is average. They're not very good in the red zone, and they're just not very good at stopping the run. Mm. And so how do you defend Patrick Mahomes? Well, you can't really limit him in the passing game, because he's going to get his yards, he's going to get his points. But with the Browns' rushing attack, they've got an opportunity to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, on the bench, if they're able to just chew up the clock, get 4 and 5 yard runs throughout the course of the game, mm-hmm. and kind of try to keep it a close game, which the Chiefs have been known to play a lot of close games. They don't seem to blow anybody out. So if the Browns can kind of play the clock game in the second half, if it's close, you never know. They got an opportunity. Maybe if they've got the ball on that final drive, go down and allow Baker Mayfield to kind of be a legend and go and get the points that they need right at the end of the game.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm have never been sold on Baker Mayfield. Full disclosure, when we did our draft show, I actually said to draft Josh Allen. That was my dude. I thought he was going to be a great NFL player. I think if you guys, I know you probably can't say this, but with Baker, I think if you had like a Matt Ryan or just a normal game manager with that team and the running backs, because there's a lot of talent on the Browns, I just don't know if Baker's the dude to do it. Do you think he's the long-term answer to QB for the Browns?
I do. When you look at his numbers on the season, they're not going to blow you away, but that's only because he played pretty poorly at the beginning of the season. Since the middle of the season, he's been one of the better performing quarterbacks. I think he's only one interception from him. He's been delivering when he needs to at important parts of the game. And so I think he was one player learning a new system with training camp because of COVID. And it just took him a little bit of time before he got comfortable with this offense that he was in. And since then, I think he's been really good. And so it'll be interesting to see how he plays against Kansas City, but he did great against Pittsburgh. Now, he didn't have to do a whole lot because of the way the game started. But I still got a lot of faith in Baker, and I think he's playing his best football at the right time of the season in December and now in January.
Has the spread come out yet, Dan? I'd be curious to see what it is.
Yeah, I'm looking now. Hang on a second.
The Chiefs haven't played in, it feels like a month at this point.
I saw it was like 9.5, I thought, right after the game. I don't know if that's changed.
It's minus 10 right now. And
okay. I thought maybe like the Browns homers jumped all over that and maybe it came down a little bit, but. But that's a lot of points. I know that Kansas City's really good, but they haven't played, and a lot of times you can get a little bit rusty in the NFL if you're not playing. And sometimes those teams that have that first round bye in the playoffs they come out a little bit slow. The Browns have a chance to kind of jump on them and then turn to their running game. They can make it a short game, and I think they got a chance on the stretch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they play it defensively too. I mean, we all know about Garrett and his ability to rush the passer and everything, but just their entire defensive scheme and how anybody manages to stop Kansas City's offense is a goddamn mystery to me, with all the weapons they have and the scheme they run. So anytime you see somebody do it, I guess everybody takes note. I don't know if I think with that offense and Andy Reid's mentality, they probably are similar to Belichick in that they don't really game plan for other teams. They just run their offense and see what happens. Because they're that good. I don't think they need to. Cleveland, on the other hand, is going to need something. They're going to need something in special teams, something in defense. They're going to need to hold Kansas City to field goals instead of touchdowns or whatever the case is to keep this game close. And it's going to come down to those little plays. Now, Kansas City doesn't have a great defense at all, but Baker does from time to time go through these streaks where he turns the ball over a lot. So we'll see what happens. I mean, if they stay calm in the first half of the game, he's not throwing passes high, wide, right to his out receivers and things like that. It could be a very interesting game, more so than what Vegas is saying. I mean, it's a 10-point spread. What are you doing there, guy? You got stuff on the screen.
10 points. Look, with that 10 points, man, I'm going to buy a half a point down and go 9.5 and go yard in the Chiefs. I'm sorry, Joe. I love you, but I've got to make the audience money, you know?
Just like last weekend when you told him to hammer them.
I don't see faces on the screen. I see email.
Giorgio, are you good back there?
Yeah, he's got AIDS, but we're treating it.
Yeah, we got a little tech issues today. I went hard in Miami, Joe. There's nothing more depressing than losing a national championship. So I went absolutely bug fuck last night, and I'm kind of shaking it off. I knew when Trey Sermon broke his collarbone the first play of the game last night that it was going to be a rough night for daddy. And when I say daddy, obviously I'm talking about myself.
But what does a rough night look like in Miami? Because we had the Super Bowl there last year, and the NFL Network sent all their people down there, and I enjoyed myself. That was my first time really getting after it in Miami, and that place can be a little dangerous.
Real dangerous. Look, it's like Vegas. So you've got about 4 days here, and then you max out, and then you're all done, or you just end up dying here.
I feel like you guys sound like a couple of fucking quitters right now. That's what you sound like.
Quit.
Go on a fucking bender, dude. Stop being a pussy. I'm tired of hearing this shit. We've lost everything masculine in America now. Don't let binge drinking and doing drugs be something that we lose as well. For Christ's sake, can we not lose that? Because I can't live. I can't live without it. I need it.
I'm still all in, Dan. I'm still the man that you know and love, obviously. But
you're still wearing the fucking concert wristband from 2 days ago, fuckface. So I'm not sure if you are. I mean,
you got into the club. Right?
That is a good sign. That's a good sign. Yeah. That's a good point, though. If you go on a pub crawl, I kind of judge people based on how many wristbands they come out with. Like, how long did you stay sober enough to convince that fucking bouncer to let you into that building? Because I've been in those situations at Penn State. Holy shit. You know that big bar? Ross, we went there. No, we didn't end up going there. You know that big bar that's down in the student area right near all the dorms? And there's always a guy out there trying to make sure that you're not too fucked up when you come in. Once you get in, it's whatever, right? But yeah. The guy's looking at me. Last time I was there, the guy's looking at me like, hey, you seem a little drunk. And I'm like, I am a little drunk, yeah. And I'm coming in here to get even more drunk. So just shut the fuck up and move. And I guess I articulated it so well that he was like, all right, this guy's good. And he let me in, even though I was kind of rude. I think that's the point, though. Everybody's on board with our debauchery. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, I expected everything that happened to me tonight. So, like, I have, you know, no regrets, obviously, over that.
Yeah, we're getting tattoos.
Hashtag no regrets, obviously. But there was a night, like, it's the accidental fucked up where you're just like, oh, shit, that happened. I was at a super random, but at a Dave Matthews concert. One of the guys had died, like, an hour before the show. So they didn't know, one of the band members.
Oh!
Leroy.
Didn't know. Oh, shit.
Yeah, they didn't know because he was in the hospital, and they announced it live on air that, you know, hey man, or live on stage, like, hey man, he's dead. We're still gonna play tonight. Blah blah blah. There was a couple lesbians that were sitting behind me, and they were smoking weed, and it was laced with PCP. I didn't know that, and they were like, hey, can we offer you our condolences? And I was like, yeah, I'll take a hit of that. On another planet, right? I mean, for the entire thing. One of the greatest shows I've ever been to. But like Dan was saying, I went to the bar afterward. I didn't know how fucked up I was until the bouncer said, hey, man, you seem like you're on acid. And I was like, oh, my God, is it that obvious? And he goes, are you on acid? And I go, I'm not sure what was in that bowl. But what I did know is I did smoke it. And you're right. I'm probably too fucked up to go into your establishment.
You had the wherewithal to be able to recognize, like, that someone else was being your custodian and had your own best interests in mind. Like, at least you didn't try to fight him. Like, that's when it goes too far.
Yeah, yeah. And look, going to Ohio State, I've seen plenty of people try to fight the bouncers. Because I was a bouncer for 4 years in college. That's what I did. There was always somebody at the end of the night who was just, like, pissed off at a girlfriend or whatever, and they would take a swing or something. And so I'm used to it. But I also respect it, so I didn't go after the gentleman. I was just like, no, you're right. I'm fucked up, and I'm going to bounce out of here.
That's what I respect about you. You're too professional.
Well, it's almost like the weatherman. If the weatherman's on TV saying, hey, it's fucking snowing outside, and you put shorts and a T-shirt on and go outside like an asshole, then you fucking deserve what you get, to be honest. And if you try to get into a bar when you're on PCP, you get in there, then you deserve what you get, asshole. And, you know, well, I mean,
here's my question. How did you find out that there was PCP in?
So it got to a point where I had not felt like that in a while, you know, or like whatever, 5-6 years. And so I turned back towards the lesbian couple and I said, hey, I'm pretty sure there was more than just weed in there. Do you want to let me know what that is? And they were like, oh my God, we're so sorry. It's just a little bit of angel dust in there. And I was like, I was like, fucking Ethan Hawke in Training Day, where it was, oh, I didn't know you like to get wet, buck naked, sherm, like all of the things. I went full Training Day that night, and it is what it is. A man died. I'm a fan of Dave Matthews, and I took that, Joe. I took it.
you're a true fan. That's all I can say. You were willing to do anything to appease the Dave Matthews crew that clearly were at that moment.
Numb the pain. Like, a guy like you is fucking partied. What's one of the craziest fucking party sitches in your life that you got into?
Here we go.
You know, the funny thing is when you get into that mindset, you don't remember as much. And it's probably a good thing, you know, now that I try to be a somewhat respectable father and NFL Network somewhat professional. It's good that I don't remember some of those days in college, because going to Wisconsin, you know, it wasn't as heavy on the drug. There was a lot of alcohol that was consumed in college. There was a lot of blackout nights that things were a little foggy, and I'm glad it was right at the beginning of the, like, cell phone camera days, because I don't know how these college guys these days can go out now with everybody having a cell phone camera and recording every single thing that you do. After the national championship game tonight, what do those guys do? Just go back to their rooms and take a nap?
No, there was some shots and some images of, like, the players' hotel rooms this morning, and there was just beer cans outside for the maids. Like, there was one that it was like 60 coming out of somebody's room.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, shit, I get it. During the time of COVID that we're in, it's so weird because you can't go out to a club in rage or hit the streets in rage. Like, most of the shit closes down at like 11 o'clock.
Well, in Miami, you probably can't, right?
Even in Miami, huh?
Yeah, even in Miami. Like, I was surprised where, you know, certain things are open, but the mask sitch, going out and then putting the mask on and then going back to the thing and everything else, it's not like it used to be where it was like, all right, I'm going to dump some cocaine on the table and here's an orgy that's going to happen inside the Miami club.
Yeah. I mean, it seems reasonable to me. I've got a couple of other questions. One, Joe, so you were in Madison for what, 3-4 years? How many years?
I was in Madison 4 years.
4 years. So did you ever go to Wando's where you get free bacon on Tuesdays? Because that's one of my favorite. I lived in Madison for a while. It's a fucking nice place to live.
Wando's, great spot. Actually, my wife bartended there for a little bit.
Oh, and you grew up near Milwaukee, right? So you know Comet as well. On Sundays, they do free bacon. I've never seen – this is the only two restaurants I've ever heard of that do this shit. So
what we used to do at Wando's, because Tuesday night was 75-cent PBR and bacon, we'd bring toast and lettuce and tomato and make DFTs.
You can't bring lettuce from home, fuck face. What are you doing? I mean, that's pretty fun. They don't give a shit there, though. That place is uniquely situated. It's kind of like right in between where the older crowd starts to live down near Johnson Street and shit and the campus. So there's a good mix of people that go in there. So I'm sure they had – and Wisconsin football players aren't known for doing stupid shit either, which is nice. You guys run out. I mean, you're not known for getting caught doing stupid shit. Excuse me. Apologies all around.
That's what I tell people about Madison, why I think I love time there, and so many players have so much fun, is because it's a very tolerant city of being drunk and stupid.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just stumbling down the street, nobody thinks anything of it. It's just kind of how everyone is, and there's like this big love affair with, hey, it's okay. Like, it's not exactly Vegas or Miami, but there's a lot more tolerance, I think, of be acting like an idiot than a lot of other college campuses. And
right.
I think that's why people love going to school there so much.
Right.
How many times did you hear the song Jump Around? Over, under 300?
Oh, way over. I mean, you hear, you know, 50-some games that I played in there, and then basically every house party, they play Jump Around like 3 or 4 times, depending on how drunk the DJ is getting.
Did you ever meet him, Everlast? Did you guys ever hang and rage?
I never did. No. I mean, love to. You got the connection. You trying to hook it up?
Well, we'll hook it up with Everlast. Absolutely. I'd like to hear an acoustic version on the show and then see old school Joe Thomas just run through a fucking wall like the Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah. You know, we used to party a little bit too when we were in college was OAR. Since you're like a Columbus guy.
Yes.
Didn't they go to school at Ohio State, or they kind of like started in that area?
Not only did they start there, but they used to play in our fraternity house.
But the most important thing about Columbus is that Guy Fieri's from there, right? Can we all agree on that?
Flavortown.
Yeah.
Flavortown. They're going to rename the town, Joe. You know that, right? To Flavortown?
Of course.
Yeah. Columbus is racist now, so it's going to have to – they're looking at renaming it. Flavortown is currently in the lead. I'm all for it, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all for it. Are you an OAR fan? Is that why you brought it up?
I was, yeah. I can't say they're on my iPod right now, currently. But when I was in college, that like We love the little OAR. We can get down to that.
What's your playlist right now, other than K-pop? Skip that because everybody knows that one already.
Other than K-pop? Well, I'm not sure there's anything left. you know what? I'm big on variety, so it just depends on my mood. Like, if I'm working out, I'll probably go old school, like Metallica, like 80s, 90s rock, AC/DC, like something a little bit harder. But I like 90s rap, 90s hip hop, early 2000s, like the shit we used to listen to at house parties.
Yeah. I guess we haven't talked about Dr. Dre on the show yet. I mean, he's still in a fucking coma or some shit, right?
Oh, that's right. Did we forget about Dre?
I don't think we did.
Nailed it.
No, we didn't. Okay, good. I always want to make sure we didn't forget about Dre. Yeah, he's still in like the ICU. He's got a brain aneurysm. They're trying to locate the bleeding right now.
Yeah, that's usually that usually doesn't have a good ending. Yeah. So he's probably fucked.
And it also happens a lot during, it's very common during divorces where your wife is asking for $20 million a month. And that's what's going on as well.
Ooh. She's got a lot of spending habits, apparently. You know, the clothes, they're not free these days.
Boy, I looked at, he leaked her shit to TMZ. And the things that she was asking for were, I mean, absolute absurdity. Like, you know, $2 million in security. Was like, dude, I could pick her out of a fucking lineup, let alone give her $2 million a month in security bodyguards.
Yeah, you can tell. I mean, I've read the reports. ISIS is over there right now, fucking twisting their mustaches and stroking their long beards. Be like, we've got to get, and they don't even know her name either. Because none of us know her name, right? No one knows her fucking name. Come on, man. Nobody knows who this person is. You're not going to get kidnapped if nobody knows who you are. Sorry.
How many kids you got, Joe?
I got 4.
Yeah, so you're not going anywhere, right? Like, you're in it for the long haul.
I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not going anywhere. Feet are planted.
Same. I get 2 kids, and it's like, you read this shit, and you think about it, and you're like, man, do I even really want to go through that? Like, you know, I'll let her watch the fucking murder docs, like, you know, a couple more hours. Like, I don't want to go through the rest of it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with Dr. Dre, if I gave you $1 million, could you even tell me if he was married or not before all this came?
No. No. I had no idea he was married. All I know about him is what I saw on the movie Straight Outta Compton, which our buddy Neil Brown was in. Great movie, by the way. Can't believe it didn't win an Oscar. Still butthurt about that 5 years later.
Yeah, it was a great flick.
I'll never trust the Academy again after that.
No, and honestly, you shouldn't. We shouldn't. What about you? Did you watch Draft Day with Kevin Costner? That's a Browns movie.
It was required watching because at the time I was still on the team and they were filming in Berea where we practice. And so Kevin Costner and all those cast of characters were like living in a trailer outside in our parking lot. And they would come in and film scenes in the stadium or in our practice facility. And so I enjoyed it because I was a Browns fan, but I don't think it got great reviews outside of people that were Browns fans.
Yeah, it was one of those movies where, like, you know, he trades like 9 draft picks in the first round. And you're like, that could never happen. And then it ended up happening like 2 years later to you guys.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing that could have redeemed that movie, and that is if what I'm sure happened, which is that Kevin Costner tried to get his dick into the movie somehow, would have happened.
Yes.
That would have been the best, because he's, you may not know this, but as a fan of that movie, you should know more about K-Cos. He tries to get his dick into every movie he's in. And he gets shut down by the studio every time for some reason. I don't know why. Apparently he's got a hog on him, but I don't know if it's like bent weird or it's got like a swastika birthmark on it or some shit, but they won't let it on camera. I don't know what it is.
Curly Q, like a pig's tail.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. Look, so Joe, this is a true story, by the way. He's had his penis cut out of 8 movies. So his dream is to have his dick on screen. And they have cut it out of 8 different films.
How funny would it be if Kevin Costner just started an OnlyFans at this point?
Just to get it out to the world?
Yeah. I mean, they're almost finished recording the next season of Yellowstone, so he's got plenty of time. And it's his production company that makes Yellowstone, right? Like, they do all of it for the Paramount Network or whatever. So, yeah, he's got plenty of time. He can start an OnlyFans. Him and Giorgio, our producer, can link up, share OnlyFans. It's just pictures of dicks all day.
First movie where he was like, all right, guys, I got this great idea. I want my dick on screen. Do you think it was Dancing with the Wolves?
It was. Yep. Sure. Dances with Wolves. I could also see him doing it in The Untouchables as a flex.
That would have been good. Like him and Sean Connery standing outside of a building after rousing some dudes, and they just start pissing, and Sean looks over at his dick and he goes, oh, It's quite a helmet you got on you. You know what I mean? And he just shakes it. He just shakes it, doesn't say a word, puts it away, and he's like, yeah, I know. And he walks away. That would have been a fucking amazing.
You know Connery had a fucking hammer on him, too. I bet you the hog on that guy was intense. He was also the one, Sean Connery was like, I don't understand why it's not okay to give your woman a rap on the beak. You know, like, he was, because he was old enough of like.
Old Scottish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Light domestic violence is okay over there. Yeah. So it was like, eh. You know,
yeah.
RIP, obviously, he's gone, but yeah.
Right.
I'm going to go over some stats with you here. Do you remember your 20-yard shuttle run?
I think it was like 4.3, somewhere in there, I'm guessing.
Wow.
4.88. You were incorrect. I mean, you really lowered that.
40.
Yeah.
I think you need to fire your research team.
It says your 20-yard shuttle run was 4.88. Your 40-yard dash was 4.93.
Okay.
But you were 3.11?
311 pounds?
Did you run that 40-yard dash at 311 pounds?
Oh, yeah. I was like 310, 311.
Wow.
Dude, that's fucking incredible. I remember mine. Ugh, I was like 487, and I was – maybe 175 pounds. So
you weren't going pro.
No,
I definitely was not going pro. What about your,
you know, back in those days, it was like one scout with a stopwatch, and depending on how many beers he had the night before, I think it could be plus or minus 0.2 seconds.
Do you remember your vertical jump?
I think I was like 33, 32, maybe.
33. You nailed it. Your broad jump is impressive. Jesus Christ. No wonder you were a legend. 9 feet, 2 inches.
Solid. I was happy with that. Yeah.
That's solid. And then your bench press of 225 was 28 reps.
Yeah. That was like good enough. I think anything over 20 for an offensive lineman was like, okay, he's not weak. So you're good enough to play O-line. So anything over that, I was happy with.
How much stock should people take in these numbers at the combine? Like, did it really matter?
I mean, in the end, it's really what your film says. And I think the numbers are fun for people that don't know how to watch film and see what a good football player looks like. And it's fun for guys, you know, we're watching the combine. It's a big deal now in the NFL to have the combine on TV. And, you know, you can kind of compare people from 1 year to the next. But in the end, I think overall, it doesn't really mean a hill of beans.
Yeah, I was always curious about it because, you know, I look at a guy like DK Metcalf, who I'd never, full disclosure, I'd never heard of him in college whatsoever. But when that guy came to the combine, they were like, Jesus Christ, have you heard about this freakish athlete, DK Metcalf, who showed up? And his numbers were off the chart. They said he got drafted a little too high because it was based on the combine. And then it turned out they were completely correct in drafting him off of all that shit. So maybe there's something to it.
I mean, you can always find one example on both directions. I don't know if you remember Mike Mabula. He's like the most famous combine warrior that the Eagles drafted, I think, in the first round. Mm. And he was a defensive lineman, just shredded every record in the combine, strength, speed, quickness. And then he was just a total flop because he couldn't play football. Like in the end, you still got to play football. And being faster, stronger, quicker, like those are all good things for being a football player. But in the end, if you're not a football player, it doesn't matter how big and strong and fast you are.
Right.
It's true. And look, nobody knows that better than you do. I mean, how many quarterbacks did you have during your tenure at the Browns?
I had more than 20. It's like 23 or something like that, but over 20 for sure.
Well, so you're talking about how being a great athlete doesn't necessarily make you a great football player. I remember a couple of years ago, people started talking about LeBron James, who was a large and very athletic man, playing football, tight end or whatever the fuck. What do you think about that? I mean, my opinion was, before you answer, was that because I kind of took this from what it's like to be in combat, right? Because I'm a combat veteran. So people that shoot guns at the range versus me being in gunfights, there's a whole world of difference there. And thinking about doing violent shit on the football field versus actually taking that fucking hit or delivering a hit is an entirely different kind of situation. So I think LeBron James will get murdered in the NFL. But I would like to hear your thoughts and make sure you speak very candidly so we can clip this and use it. We'll send it to his team later, so you to make it look like two Cleveland dudes are talking shit to each other.
Perfect.
Yeah, we're just trying to create controversy, guys. Come on.
Yeah, perfect. That's what we're supposed to do in a podcast. So I would say, had he from high school on trained to be a football player, right? Like eating, strength training, practicing. There's no doubt in my mind he could have been a great NFL player.
Yeah, yeah.
Top hands, unbelievable quickness. He was strong for his build. Yeah,
and the vision, too. Great.
Yeah, like he would have been a great tight end.
Yeah. Maybe the best, right? I mean, like with that physical skill set, he could have been like a Gonzalez. He could have been one of the best for sure.
However, if you take him from when he was in the NBA and try to put him into the NFL, I think you could have found a role for him, but I don't know how great he could have been because I don't think he was big enough and strong enough to be able to be a good blocker.
Right, yeah.
So you would have had to spread him out. And I think he could have had maybe some success as like a Jimmy Graham where he's always like a detached tight end because he's such a hard matchup for anybody on defense because he's so tall, such a great leaper, such great hands. But would he have been elite level if you just plucked him from the NBA to the NFL? Probably not, because I think you could have got physical with him at the line of scrimmage and limited him a little bit. You know, he would have had to put on some big time bulk and be a little bit more of like a Gronk size to be able to win some of those tougher press coverage type matchups he would have seen at the line of scrimmage with some of these big linebackers.
Right, yeah. I mean, for sure. And he would have, I mean, to put on that bulk, you're going to lose a little bit of the lateral quickness and vertical, but not enough that would matter, right? I mean, he's 6'8", so I don't know if it would have really mattered.
In the end, he can just turn around and you can just throw him a jump ball.
Yeah, for real. I mean, but there's no flopping in the NFL. Right, you're not gonna get that call in the NFL if you fucking get hit in the back a little bit and fall down. Yeah, that would be interesting though, right? I like to see that. I like all this crossover stuff that's happening in sports now, particularly with people who are simply athletic getting into fights, like the Paul brothers and all this other bullshit that's going on right now is super interesting to me.
Jake Paul was at the game last night. He was in Miami.
Yeah,
yeah, he's prepping for it. Can you name all the quarterbacks you played for, Jeff?
Well, I was going to say, before we do that, I've got a podcast, sort of. It's not as serious as this one, but we're going to do, like, podcasters getting into a fight. Me and my co-host, Andrew Hawkins, who's only 5'6", we should do a Drinking Bros Tomahawk podcast Royal Rumble. Like, do it in Miami. We can do the undercard for Mayweather and one of the Paul brothers, whoever's fighting him. I think we could do great stuff. We could get your betting company to put a line on it. It'd be amazing. It'd be a huge money maker.
Wait, so you're saying you're going to fight Andrew Hawkins, who is a receiver, I believe, for the Browns. And he's about one half of your size, give or take. Yeah, let's do it. We'll fund the whole thing.
I'm all in for it.
We're not going to be able to get insurance. There's no way.
Right? It's fine. I feel like I'm in peak athletic condition right now. And I'm ready to rock. I challenged Pat McAfee the other day to a punt pass kick for charity for $10,000. Uh-huh. And he literally wrote me back and he goes, "Hey man, I own the all time record still at the punt pass and kick." And then he sent me a video from the Philadelphia Stadium, wherever he got the award.
Yeah.
And he did win the fucking thing, but he had knee surgery. I feel like I could take
it. We Paul Verzi said he hung out with Pat recently, and the first thing he saw as Pat walked into the room were his giant quads, and he was like, "I'm leaving, man. This is weird. Like, I can't. This is weird. I'm leaving. I'm just gonna get out of here." We love Pat though. I really want to see why is he not announcing on a major football network every single weekend? I don't understand. Because he's one of the most entertaining people in all of football. Say what you want. Some of these guys, like I like Tirico and some of the guys that have been doing shit recently. But man, come on. Let's get the real fucking. Let's get Romo in there. I mean, he's in there now, but it took some effort. They fucked around because they didn't want to pay people. What are all these media companies going to realize that you pay your talent? You know what I mean?
Yeah, honestly, with Pat, I agree. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's entertaining, but they don't pay enough to get him in the booth. He's probably making way more money doing all the stuff he's doing on the side with his podcast.
Yeah.
That he would probably have to take a pay cut to go sit in the booth.
He could still do the podcast. I think he just wouldn't be able to do gambling stuff if he's working for the network. Right. But that is what it is. And he's doing a lot of that now. So he'd probably have to change the show. But I mean, Romo got paid, right? What did Romo get, Ross?
Romo got like $20 million a year. He got a huge deal.
It's like 13 or 16 or some shit.
Yeah. He's the first guy that got that huge contract.
Well, maybe he'll set the standard, honestly, because at the end of the day, like we talked about this all through the social issues with the NFL and the other sports leagues, and then the way they handled COVID and all this stuff. At the end of the day, this is a form of entertainment. Like, you're a product. You're putting a product on the field. It's not just a game that happens to be monetized. It is literally a product. The people are a product. The branding is a product. The performance itself is a product. All of it is. So you want to fucking put your best foot forward on all of that. You know what I mean? That's why I like the NBA on TNT. They've got the best crew of sports guys that I've ever seen. Ernie Johnson is good pretty much with anybody, but Shaq, Kenny, and Charles Barkley. That's the best. I think that's the best just all-around crew of commentators that I've ever seen. Maybe you could say Howie Long and the guys back in the day when Fox and NFL first got kind of big in that. But I love that crew. I feel like the NFL is missing it now, though, like from the broadcast perspective. Where Pat Summerall and John Madden, where's that now? I feel like it's completely missing now. I used to watch games on Sunday night that I didn't give two fucks about because I wanted to hear, this is when I was like a teenager, I wanted to hear Madden and Summerall talking about the game. You know what I mean? Now that's completely lost. I would watch for Romo, though, because Romo's like, what's that fake Jamaican lady that would tell people's futures? Miss Cleo, yeah. I've never seen a guy break the game down like that before. He breaks the game of football down the way that like Tim Kirchin breaks down baseball. It's incredible. And it's for fans, I think it's amazing because when you start to understand these little parts about the game, you see so much else that's going on there. And that's why, I mean, offensive linemen historically, particularly in college, have been the smartest guys on the field mostly, right? They're when you look down the list of academic All-Americans, typically the guys that are leading the pack are offensive linemen. I don't know why that is, but I feel like it's because you have to know so much to be able to do that job, and you see the whole field. It's almost like a catcher in baseball. Did you feel that? I mean, you were a tackle, right? So it's tell us about what you're thinking about when you're on the line. Like, you've got to play, whether it's run, pass, and then all of a sudden your quarterback checks down or calls an audible or whatever, and you got to process all that shit and everything on the field all at the same time. Can you walk us through what that's like?
Yeah, for an offensive lineman, I think quarterbacks have more to learn because they got to know what the offensive line is doing and the receivers.
And everybody, yeah.
But outside of that, I'm with you there. Like, as an offensive lineman, your technique can change and who you block can change with the same play call in the huddle, depending on a slight movement of where the nose guard moves or where the linebackers shift. Everything is constantly changing. So you got to be able to think quickly, and you got to be able to communicate it to the guys that are to the right and left of you. And you guys all got to be on the same page, because right, one tiny miss turns into a disaster with somebody running free and sawing your $20 million quarterback in half,
yeah,
with a helmet right in the middle of his back. So
yeah,
the risk of you not doing your job is no greater at any other position than offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you know immediately, like if you're a running back and you don't make the right cut, or you drop a ball on the flat, or you're a receiver and you drop a ball, yeah, that's a big play. If you're an offensive lineman and you guys run a play and it's a big gain and all of a sudden it gets called back because you were a false start, or if, like you said, you're fucking you allowed Joe Burrows to get his entire body destroyed week after week after week after week, that's a big deal, right? I mean, that's not a good look. There's a reason that quarterbacks take their offensive line out for steak dinners all the time. It seems like there's a lot of pressure. Maybe as much pressure as any other position, right?
Who
there.
Who bought you the best dinner, quarterback wise?
You know, awesome. There were some good places in Cleveland that we used to go to, and pretty much every one of them did a pretty nice job buying a, you know, real nice solid dinner, like a nice seafood steakhouse, like a Morton's. Actually, one of the places we had a good time, I don't remember who bought me the dinner because I had so many quarterbacks, but we went to Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse in Cincinnati. Good spot. They've got these shrimps that are like as big as my head, and everybody got like $100 steak. That was a great one.
Hey, you don't remember the name of the quarterback? Because don't think that I'm going
to. I'm sure he's a great guy, but
I'm not going to let this go. I want to hear all 20 starting quarterbacks, if you can name them.
Yeah, there's 0% chance that I can name all of them. I can start with a few of them, but then honestly, like, the middle ages of my career where we would have a coach and we'd go through three quarterbacks in one season, and then we'd fire the coach and all the quarterbacks. It's impossible for me to keep them straight. So let's see. I could start with like Derek Anderson, Charlie Fry, Brady Quinn. There's three.
Ken Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey, yeah, he played. Johnny Manziel.
Bruce Gradkowski.
Campbell.
Brian Hoyer.
Jake DeLome after his time with Carolina came over for a bit.
Oh, yeah, Jake DeLome, Seneca Wallace.
Yeah, Colt McCoy.
RG3.
Brandon Whedon.
Griffin, yeah.
Tad Josh Lewis. McCown. Jason Campbell. Brian Hoyer.
Clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst, he played for us.
Oh, yeah. Well, he never played, though, because he's clipboard Jesus, right? You don't, like, can you imagine all the quarterbacks ahead of Whitehurst getting hurt, and he's just like, nah, I don't do that shit. Are you fucking kidding me? I got the clipboard, man. Somebody else grabbed the ball.
You know, I went to high school with clipboard Jesus.
Did you really?
Well, yes. Maybe
you can confirm that. I'm pretty sure Rex Grossman, he was on the team, and he was, like, the backup, and then we had a guy get hurt. And he was supposed to be the starter, and he was like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to go home. I'd rather go home than be the starter.
My money is on yes, that is totally true. I think with him in particular, right, and this is not a bad thing at all, but if you're making that much money as a backup quarterback, do you really want to get hurt and then blow that gig? Because let's say you got real fucked up, like ACL, MCL, like a Joe Burrow type sitch where you went down and it was brutal and you were a backup quarterback, then you lose that fun time. I mean, it was always like him on yachts with like models and shit like that. He was living his best life.
Yeah. I think too, one of the things is when you're the backup, like you have a very clear understanding of exactly what you need to be doing. Like, don't be late, take really good notes in meetings, act like it's really important to you. And if you can do those things, you can be a backup quarterback in the NFL forever. Mm-hmm. But if they put you out there, all of a sudden you fuck up. Like, they're getting rid of your ass. So all of a sudden the pressure, you're under those lights, and it's kind of make or break. And so for a backup quarterback, the best thing you can do is just kind of stay out of the way. Just do the wallflower. Don't do anything to get yourself cut, and you can play forever.
If you play
forever,
if you play it right, like Matt Flynn, for example, is now 35 years old. He's worth about $30 million, and he threw one touchdown in the NFL before he threw four in one game, right? And then didn't really play again after that because he went to Seattle. Russell Wilson beat him out for the job, but he still had that guaranteed money. You know what I mean? So it's win versus I guess it depends on how long you want to hang out and do stuff. Whitehurst clearly, like, I'm surprised he's not on the track for head coach at this point. Maybe he is, and I just don't know about it. But he seems like the kind of guy that would be a head coach, maybe even in college, not in the pros, because he clearly loves football. Even regardless of how much money you're making, there's no way you stand around and watch that shit, go to practice and meetings every day if you don't actually enjoy the fucking sport, right? You have to assume that he loves the game.
You either love that or you love the paychecks. And if you're not getting hit, you can just love the paychecks.
That's true.
Like, yeah.
Joe, you got a podcast. You know the deal. We got some sponsors who put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 30% off everything in the entire store. That is including pillows, sheets, mattresses, adjustable bases, all of it. Shit, you can get 20 beds if you want. Get them for 30% off. Maybe you're opening up an orphanage. I don't know. But if you are, let those little orphans sleep peacefully. Tell them to get a ghost bed from ghostbed.com/drinkingbros, where, as always, they've got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there. And let's face it, if Biden's bringing that dark winter in, we might be shut down. You'll need a nice mattress to sleep in. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Our chief sponsor for the sports show is KillCliffCBD.com. Best in the biz, 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. They've got five amazing flavors now because we got the Joe Rogan flavor, D'Anthony.
Yeah, we
pineapple
sure do.
And jalapeno.
Yeah, it's Flaming Joe. And we need, I guess what we need to start doing is lobbying KillCliff to make a Drinking Bros flavor. We'll have to decide what it is so they can it takes a little while to dial the actual flavor in, but I think we need a Drinking Bros KillCliff CBD flavor.
I want it in like a red, white, and blueberry.
I think
let's call it red, white, and blueberry, and then get a blueberry one.
Okay. I'll text the guy.
Yeah, let him know. And we want our faces on the can, for Christ's sakes. We deserve it. I drink this shit every night. I'd love to drink my own face every night.
Yeah.
25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. No THC, so you will not piss hot on drug tests. Look, Killcliff is a massive, massive company. They would get massively sued if there was any in there, so you were good to go. It is great for joints, back pains, all that other stuff, and it goes really great with vodka. Go to killcliffcbd.com today for 30% off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS and free shipping. That's 30% off and free shipping with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at killcliffcbd.com. The grape is my favorite, by the way.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, well, but I would like that red, white, and blueberry. Yeah. I want it.
We'll make it happen.
I want it. Last but not least, mybookie.com. Everything that we are gambling on today here in a second is through mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS will get you 50% of your deposit back. So if you download a grand, you're going to wake up with $1,500 in your account. All the spreads that we are reading today on the show are from mybookie.com. Again, promo code Drinking Bros will get you half your deposit back. And we're getting down to the wire here, kids. There's going to be a lot of money being thrown on these games this weekend. And we're going to get your thoughts on that in a second, Joe. One of your quarterbacks, by the way, is I used to call him the most punchable face in America, Brandon Whedon. Was he cool or what was his sitch? I just didn't like the look of him, like when he walked around in real life.
He was a cool guy, yeah. I mean, he was a name I forgot to mention, of course. Sorry about that, Mr. Whedon. No, he was a cool guy. We got along pretty good. Like, he never was able to translate the good arm that he had to good performance on the field.
Mm. Yeah, but in real life, he partied like he was a cool guy.
You know, he was a cool guy, yeah. I'm not sure if he was going to Miami with, like, Johnny Manziel, but...
Yeah.
Pretty cool dude. He was 30 when we drafted him, though, so I think people don't realize he had played a whole baseball career before he went back to
college.
Yeah, he was like what's the guy that went to Florida State, Winky, and then he went to Carolina? Yeah, he was like 28 when he got drafted, right?
You want to talk about living the absolute dream? Going back to college, knowing what you know, late 20s, and then going to Florida State and being a star quarterback.
Yeah, can you imagine Winky, how much fucking pussy he slayed down there? I mean, Jesus Christ,
oh,
dude.
Oh, God, dude. I bet there's just a sword outside of his dorm room.
Well, there's a bunch of leaflets for Planned Parenthood out there.
That guy just...
That's
used
a,
crush,
an abor- can I get some
ass.
Credit for a fucking abortion joke in the middle of a serious show, for Christ's sake?
No, I'm not going to give it to you. That guy used to crush ass, though. And I think that's what you tell your kids to aspire to, is Chris Winkie, to be honest with you.
Yeah, do a lot, but don't do too much.
Here's the thing, too. Like, if he had a baseball career, I have no idea what his earnings were. But a baseball career, he probably had a bunch of money going into college, especially compared to all the other college kids. So... He was out there just like at the clubs buying drinks for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, he was the king because of all that money he made in baseball. And on top of that, oh, by the way, you're a Heisman Trophy winner at Florida.
Yeah. And you have millions of dollars in college at Florida State. Florida State, my God, man. I mean, look at the cutaways during the games. That's some of the hottest women in America. He's got millions of dollars and he's going back to college at 28 years old. Bravo, sir. Bravo. That's the end all be all. Are you allowed to gamble at the NFL Network?
We are not. So we're technically considered NFL employees and we're not allowed to gamble.
Do you, is it just the NFL or is it any gambling at all in sports?
No. So I think the rule is during the NFL season, you can't gamble on any sports at all. And you can't even be in a casino or a sports book during the season. I think in the off season, you're allowed to go into a casino, but I don't think you're allowed in a sports book at all.
No shit. So we do these college picks every single week. We also do NFL picks every single week. Exactly. College is over now, so that show is completed for the season. We'll probably do a recap show of it tomorrow. However, we do have the NFL playoffs, and since you were one of the best, I believe you called the Browns last week. I was incorrect. I think I was 4 out of 6 games, including overs, unders. I picked all that stuff. My two incorrect picks were the Browns and the Seahawks. And the Seahawks got smoked with a third-string quarterback. I couldn't believe that. Could you?
I was surprised, but, you know, Russell Wilson had not been playing great down the stretch, and it seemed like the Seahawks were kind of unraveling at the wrong time. You don't want to be unraveling in December and January, and they were never able to kind of figure things out, and it seemed like defenses really understood the route concepts they were trying to run, and they were, like, out there calling out their passing plays, and they were never able to get anything going in the passing game. And when you're the Seahawks and you can't throw the ball, you got no chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a strange game to watch, man. I don't know what to think of that team, to be honest with you. They never cover the spread. It's always super close. Russell Wilson seems like he's more concerned about his brand and things going on, because there was a report that, you know, when he started playing shitty, he had filed like 158 patents or something called, like, Let Russ Cook. He was trying to make his own T-shirts and all that bullshit.
Yeah, well, he wasn't doing that. He had a production team doing that shit. I always laugh because we know what it's like to be behind camera. And people are like, oh, you're doing all this. Why can't you fucking take my phone call or whatever the fuck? I'm like, look, dude, I'm busy. Like, we do a lot of our own shit. But you got to imagine at that point with CR and all the other stuff they have going on, there's somebody handling that that's not him, right? You would think.
Russell's got a lot of money, and I guarantee he has a lot of people that are doing a lot of stuff for him.
Yeah.
So I guarantee he wasn't doing any of that.
But he is. You're right about, I mean, first the Steelers and now the Seahawks. They both limped into the playoffs, and that's a thing for real. I mean, there's something to be said. Like, we know, statistically speaking, that hot hand theory is bunk. That's bad data. It doesn't exist. A guy making his last shot in basketball, for example, has no effect on whether or not he'll make his next shot, statistically speaking. Now, people do get hot. Klay Thompson, for example, Steph Curry gets hot. Reggie Jackson, actually, in crunch time, is the best player in the NBA. Nobody knows this. I don't know why. But in the NFL, especially, but I think it's true of all playoff teams. Like, if a goalie in hockey gets hot during the playoffs, that team might win the Stanley Cup just because that motherfucker doesn't allow any goals. Like, Fleury in, what was it, 2011 or 12? I don't remember which year that was, when Pittsburgh won their second, I think, title. He was unstoppable. There was no beating Pittsburgh. It didn't matter what anybody did. And we've seen that out of baseball teams, Schilling and Randy Johnson for the, what was it, 2001 Arizona Cardinals. We've seen it. And we've seen it with football teams as well, but it's more on the inverse side. So in football, you see a great team limp into the playoffs and then just get fucking schwacked like Pittsburgh did last week. There's no reason Pittsburgh should have lost that game like that. Absolutely no reason. It's just no attention to detail, lackadaisical, like you said before, whatever it is. So I wonder, again, it comes back to this week. And it comes back to consistency. What these great teams that we've known throughout history, the ones that we consider dynasties, like maybe the 1990s Bulls and Cowboys, the early 2000s Spurs and Lakers, those teams, and so on and so forth, the Patriots over the course of the last 20 years, I guess, have, whenever it came down to crunch time, were able to turn on another their afterburners, or they were the kind of team that just stayed, like the Patriots, who just stayed disciplined all the time. I don't see that in professional sports very much anymore. We haven't seen one of those teams, even the Warriors at the height of their fucking fame, with even when Durant got there, they couldn't keep it together enough not to lose games that they shouldn't have lost. And it seems like whatever that fucking killer instinct is, isn't out there in a lot of players anymore. And I don't know why that is. A lot of people say it's the millennial attitude or Gen Z attitude or whatever the fuck, or it's you know, players training together in the off season and being friends instead of enemies on the field. I wonder what you, as a professional athlete that spent your entire career in the trenches, like the literal trenches, how do you feel about the way players communicate with each other these days? Who do you think are the best closers in professional sports right now? Like, who are the guys that transcend whatever this bullshit is going on right now and still come out and give 100% every single day? Because I feel like we talk about this on the show a lot. If Mahomes came out and had that whole team firing on all cylinders for 16 games a season, he would probably throw 60 touchdowns and 6,000 yards, to be honest. But I don't think that'll ever happen. And maybe it can't. Maybe the 73-win Warriors is like a warning. Like, don't worry too much about the regular season if you want to win in the postseason. Maybe it is, but I want to know your thoughts on that.
I think Brady and he was the closest to it, right? Mm. Because it's so hard to win in pro sports. You have to commit so much and you have to be so disciplined and you have to work so hard. And once you get there, if you want to repeat, you basically have to reject all of the glory and all of the greatness that comes with finally winning that championship. You have to willing to humble yourself and discipline yourself and go through all that misery and that work again.
Right.
And it's really hard to do in pro sports because you're making a lot of money and you're finally reaching the pinnacle of something you've worked your entire life to get there. And you want to enjoy it a little bit, right?
Right.
Like everybody wants to win that Super Bowl or win that Stanley Cup or whatever, and then go enjoy it for a little while. And to be consistently great like New England was with Brady,
right,
you have to totally reject all that. I remember hearing a story when Brady was with the Patriots. It was like a week after he won the Super Bowl. He was sitting down and having dinner with Michael Strahan, and Michael ordered a beer and was going to order him a beer. And Brady said, "No, thanks. I'm in training." And Strahan's like, "Dude, you just won the Super Bowl a week ago. You can have a beer. Like, you don't even have mini camp for two more months." And he was like, "No, I'm in training." And that's the mentality you have to have. Literally 24/7, you have to get your sleep, you have to eat right, you have to train right every single day of the year. And when you become super rich and super famous and you're successful and you win a championship,
right,
you may not want to do that every single day of the year. You want to maybe just enjoy it for a little bit. And that's why it's so hard in pro sports to keep repeating and be great every single year.
Right. So do you think, like, we know who those people are that were able to do it for a long time. Brady was one of them. Tiger Woods was one of them. Obviously, Jordan and Kobe were two of those examples that throughout their entire career, 100% was left on the floor probably every single time they went into any kind of athletic competition. I don't know if there's anybody out there like that now. We've taken this.
Yeah, Mahomes doesn't seem to have that killer instinct where it's just like, "Hey, man, I want to drop 60 and murder your family."
Right.
Like that Last Dance doc was a great reminder for athletes today. What it really takes to have a killer instinct.
Yeah.
And
like Jordan, Jordan was creating problems that didn't exist just so he could fight those problems to keep himself motivated. That seems pathological to some people, but that is exactly what it takes to win six consecutive titles, right? Without ever losing one. And not in a row, obviously he was out for 2 years, but to win every single time you got to the finals, to be the MVP every time you got to the finals, to be perfect in the playoffs, I guess, after you got your team together as you wanted it. It takes a level of commitment that I just don't, maybe, I feel like there's three or four in every generation though, right? Like in the 90s, we saw, Bird and Magic, those guys fucking, they never took a day off, ever. Jordan never took a day off going into the 90s and obviously later in his career, but Kobe never took a day off. He was a fierce competitor. I feel like Tim Duncan was a guy like that, but he was so quiet, nobody ever really gave him that respect. But in other sports, man, honestly, maybe in some other sports you can't do it. Baseball, 650 or so plate appearances in a single year. To be 100% locked in for 650 plate appearances.
That's what all those guys are.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Seriously, we talked to Aubrey Huff is a good buddy of ours, and he was like, "Man, halfway through my career, I'm just like fucking chugging Adderall, just trying to stay alert for every single at bat up there because I knew like there's a bunch of great players around me. I'm a really good player, but if I want to be great and be on a great team, I've got to fucking perform a little bit better." And you know, that's what it is. You got to fucking be on all the time. Some of these people did it without stimulants or anything like that, though, like Kobe and Jordan. I am so impressed by those people, and usually, like I said, there's a couple in each generation. I don't know who they are right now. If I'm looking across all of sports right now, who are the closers? I don't know who the closers are anymore, and I feel like we've lost that. Like we've lost faces and heels even because of it. Because I need to be able to hate if I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan right now. I need to be able to hate the Cleveland Browns, and I don't. I appreciate them. Because they're putting stuff together, and it seems like even me as a fan, my attitude has changed about the game, and I'm less attached emotionally to my own team and more attached to just seeing the game itself. Who are the closers right now, Ross? Who do you think in all of professional sports?
Mahomes could do it. LeBron, as much as I hate to say it, is up there. I just don't like his fucking game.
If he does it this year, then I'll give him the credit for being a closer.
Yeah.
Like in crunch time, by the way, his stats are great. I don't know. People like to talk a lot of shit about LeBron, and I'll get right there with him because the flopping and his attitude in general is bullshit. But in crunch time, he fucking shows up to play, and he never takes a day off. That motherfucker, say what you want about him, but he takes more hits than anybody in the NBA because he's so big and the refs can't tell that he's getting hit that hard. And he plays hard on every single play. So say what you want about him. I guess he's probably the closest one, right? I can't think of anybody.
No, and look, if you look at this weekend's games that we got here, in the, you know, the final four games here, Brady's still in it. Drew Brees is still in it. Mahomes is still in it. You know, these guys have been the guys for a while. Mahomes is trying to be that guy for a while. Look, since you're here, Joe, let's breeze down these games here. We got Rams at Packers first up on Saturday.
That's a good
this
game.
This is Green Bay minus 6.5 in this one. I've not been wrong on Green Bay this season, except for one single time gambling. I am going all in on the Packers in this game. Do you see Aaron Rodgers losing in the first round at Lambeau?
I don't. I like the Packers.
Losing versus winning by 7 is not the same thing, obviously, right? The Rams defense, the Rams defense looked really fucking good last week. And I don't know how, I honestly don't know how Jared Goff was even on the field. One, we know that he had some kind of issue with his, I think it was his thumb tendon, right?
Which is, yeah, he had surgery. Yeah. He had full-on surgery last week.
That is the way, for those of you who've never held a football before, that is the thumb and the pinky are the two dominant fucking pressure points when you're holding a football to throw a spiral. He also has the smallest hands of any starting quarterback in the entire NFL. And how the fuck did he do that, right, after having surgery? I don't know if they pumped the same Toradol into his hand that they pumped into Justin Fields' ribcage last night or what happened, but whatever the fuck happened, he stepped up and played. That's the first time I've seen that particular guy, because that's what we were talking about last week, if you remember, Roz, is that I didn't think that Goff with the surgery, plus he hasn't been the big-time game guy ever.
No, so, didn't pick him.
He showed
up. I didn't pick him last week.
He showed up. What are you going to say about it now? He showed up to play. It's not like he fucking went full Mac Jones and boosted his draft value, right? But he certainly showed up to fucking play last week. I was impressed with the way he played. He handled the ball well, didn't do a whole lot of stupid shit. And with that defense, maybe that's enough, right?
Yeah, I slept during that game. I thought it was boring as shit. I thought the Seahawks and Rams are boring as shit. I'm all in on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers on this one, including the 6.5. I'm not going to buy shit on this. I think they win by a touchdown. And I think Green Bay is probably going to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. That is my guess.
I can't imagine.
What about you, Joe?
The only other team that could beat them is the Bucks, right? The Saints can't beat Green Bay, I don't think. Frankly.
No, I don't think so either. Joe, do you got Green Bay going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think they go. I think Aaron Rodgers is playing too good right now. Davante Adams is impossible to shut down. And really, there's nobody else in the NFC that I look at and I say, well, they don't have any holes. Like, all these other teams, they've got a lot of issues that they're dealing with that are bubbling up, where they just haven't played really good, consistent football down the stretch. So I like Green Bay in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I do too. Next up, though, on Saturday night, this is the sexiest game of the weekend, in my opinion. Ravens versus Bills. This is Bills minus 2. I'm going to keep rolling with the Bills. I've been the Bills whisperer this year. I have not missed, including last week. I told the audience to take a 6-point teaser with it. I thought they were going to win close, but not by the 7. So I dropped that down to 1, and I won that game, a lot of money for myself and the audience on that one. I'm going to take the Bills. Since this is at minus 2, I think this is a field goal game. Who you got, Joe?
Yeah, I like the Bills. I think Josh Allen is really rolling. I think the Ravens, they expended a lot of energy and emotion last weekend, and I think they're in for a little bit of a letdown after their game last weekend. And I just think it's the Bills' year right now, right?
Yep.
They're rolling pretty good.
I just want to go over some stats for Josh Allen, by the way, because you've been hot on him the whole time he's been in the league, Ross. I had my doubts in year one, but after last year, I had no doubts. And it wasn't because he had a great year last year, only threw 20 touchdowns, but he improved his completion percentage by about 7%, which is the sign of a quarterback learning shit, right? He's not only is he getting in tune with his receivers, but he's also learning the fucking the tempo of the NFL, which, as Joe can tell everybody, especially at the offensive line position, that the tempo in the NFL, that's the difference between college and the NFL, in the same way that Double-A versus Major League Baseball, the curveball or the breaking pitches are the difference, right? That is what sets the good player or even the great player in college away from the good or great player in the NFL. So he clearly picked it up. This year, his completion percentage was 70%, right? Which is fucking excellent. That is top of the league right there. That's like top 5% or top 1% of the league. He had 4,500 yards passing, which is pretty good, but he also had almost 500 yards on the ground and another 8 touchdowns. So his total output was about 5,000 yards. He had about, 45 touchdowns, 10 picks. That's in a 107 overall rating. He is now, Josh Allen, statistically speaking, is an elite NFL quarterback right now, right? Just based on the numbers he's putting up. And it's honestly, I hate to make this comparison because Eli Manning is a squishy face, but he's a young Eli Manning right now with a better fucking leg game. And they're going to have a lot of success if they keep building around this guy up there. This is going to be really exciting because he's 24 fucking years old right now. He's the same age as Mahomes. This is going to be a great AFC rivalry for the next 10 years. And what I hope is that at some point Allen is able to win. So it actually turns into a rivalry and not just, whomever was second place to Jordan all those years.
It'd be awesome if the Bills won the Super Bowl, not only for the Bills fans, but for everybody who sells tables across America.
Yeah, you make a lot of money.
Small
on tables,
businesses
yeah.
are closing down. We got to get those tables back out there. Dan, are you taking the Bills in this game?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the Bills got hot at the right time. I think it's bad for them what happened last week because Lamar Jackson did get a lot of confidence, and when he plays with confidence, you know. He can be prone to throwing interceptions and stuff like that, but when he plays with real confidence, he starts to use his legs more to create action in the passing game and not just action in the run game, right? Like he's figured out, I think, early in his career what it took a lot of the other mobile quarterbacks longer to figure out, which is that I don't have to run. The threat of me running is enough to open up some of these, you know, sidearm passes and some of these checkdowns, particularly when I have J.K. Dobbins and Ingram in the backfield that can make some serious yardage downfield, right? So that's going to be a problem for them. But the Bills have the best pass rush in the NFL, right? So they're going to put some pressure on them, and that changes your game. If you're relying on a mobile quarterback and the pass rush is able to interdict that a little bit, that reduces the effectiveness of that overall. I think the Bills are in prime position to win this game. And to be honest, if we'll see what happens, right? Because I thought after the divisional round last year, like certainly the Chiefs have learned their lesson. They're not going to go down fucking 2-3 scores again and have to fight their way back. But they did it 3 games in a goddamn row. And if they do it against these teams this year, against the Browns who have an explosive offense, against the Bills who have an explosive offense, they may not fucking win. It's a very interesting situation. I'm taking the Bills versus the Ravens. I think the Bills could beat the Ravens. I think the Bills could beat the Chiefs. I really do.
Potentially. That'll bring us to the next game, which is Browns Chiefs. It is KC minus 10 in this. I'm going to buy a half a point and take this at 9.5 on my bookie and go all in on the Chiefs. You can only play lazy for so long. It seems like every fourth game they decide to play. And I think the Browns are just happy about getting their first playoff win in a long time. And therefore, I'm sorry to say this, Joe, but I think it all comes to an end on Sunday for the Cleveland Browns. I'm going the Chiefs minus 9.5 here. Are you sticking with Browns at winning by 10?
Yeah, I like Cleveland plus 10. Their running game is going to be so effective against the Chiefs because the Chiefs are the worst when they're in the red zone on defense. And that's where you need to rush the football. And I think that Patrick Mahomes might be a little bit rusty, especially early on in the game. And Browns jump to an early lead, and they're able to just kind of milk the clock, running the football down the stretch to eke out a win by 10 points.
D'Anthony, you got Chiefs? Oh, that was a long exhale, my man. Chiefs Browns. This is Mahomes versus Baker Mayfield.
No, I got it. I think I'll probably do is I'll take the Chiefs at minus 9.5, so I'll buy half a point. But I'm also going to take the Browns teaser at plus 16 because I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference, to be honest. That's just not the style of football that the Chiefs have been playing all season, all of last year's playoffs. Why would you expect them to win by more than 7 points? Because they haven't historically, right? So why would you expect that now? Why would they change now against the Browns? Maybe last week scared some fucking sense into them and they're going to take it seriously, but I doubt it, right? Because we thought that last year. And
yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chiefs at minus 9.5 because I think they will win by two scores, but I'm going to take the Browns at plus 16 on a teaser as well.
Okay. The last one's a fun game because I genuinely don't know who's going to win this game. It's Buccaneers against the Saints, Brady versus Breeze. They're each 5,000 years old. It's going to be Wee Willy Winky running through the town, upstairs, downstairs, in his nightgown, Joe, through the streets of New Orleans. This is New Orleans minus 3. Who wins? This is the third time they've played each other this year. Who wins?
I like Brady and the Buccaneers. I think they're playing their best football of the season down the stretch here in January. And I don't know. Drew Brees just doesn't look like he's all the way back from all those cracked ribs. And so I like the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Buccaneers as well with the points here on this one. I think it's Brady's time. He's got a lot to prove. Brady versus Rodgers would be a fun matchup next week, too, to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah. I know the ratings would love it.
Yeah,
the networks, obviously.
Think about the potential. I mean, what we would expect to see in the championship rounds here. We would expect matchups between either Breeze and Brady and Rodgers, right? Or we'll see Mahomes versus Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, probably, right? Statistically speaking, this is turning out to be a lot more entertaining of an NFL postseason than last year. Frankly, already it is with the upsets, with the quarterbacks that are still in. I think the best thing that can happen for football right now is that either Brady I don't know if this will happen or not, but I think either Brady or Rodgers beats Mahomes in the Super Bowl this year, and then Mahomes comes back next year and beats whichever one that is, and then that person leaves, and it's kind of like a torch passing kind of situation, because you haven't seen that a lot in professional sports over the last however many years, right? I mean, we've seen like these soft transitions between the Spurs and Lakers dynasties into the Warriors, but it wasn't like Michael Jordan finally beating the Pistons. You know what I mean? In the Eastern Conference Finals and then going to the finals and winning. You know what I mean? We haven't seen one of those transitions, like those handoffs from one generation to the next in a while. I thought it might be Mahomes finally winning after, you know, Brady had an off year or whatever the fuck. But I think it's still a lot of unresolved stuff going on there. You know what I mean? We were at that AFC Championship game a couple years ago where Brady beat Mahomes. And I always thought, if I'm Mahomes, I want a chance to play Tom Brady in the fucking Super Bowl and beat him. That's what I want, right? You gotta want that. If you're a winner, if you're an alpha, you gotta want that.
Yeah, it just depends. I mean, look, that it's a romantic notion. Hopefully, you know, that there would be a sweet transition of power in the NFL. It's probably gonna be about as smooth as Trump and Biden here. So yeah. I'm not hoping. It'll probably be somebody fucking weird in there, but who knows? But I'm definitely going in on the Chiefs here.
What about you? You think the Bucs are going to beat the Saints, right?
Yeah, I've got Buccaneers in that one.
So you're going to take Chiefs. So you're going to take the money line on the Bucs, not the plus 3.
Yeah, I'm going to take the money line in that straight up. I think the Buccaneers win this game. I'm with you, Joe. They're playing great football right now. And dude, Brady versus Aaron Rodgers is pure sex. Yeah. Who doesn't want to see that on a Sunday night? That'll be fun as shit. Now's the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week, who is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to, Joe?
Oh boy. Alex Mack, center for the Atlanta Falcons. He was my longtime teammate in Cleveland. Great dude. He was my buddy that I used to go to every Super Bowl and party with. So he was definitely my drinking bro.
Nice.
That's awesome. Look, I'm a Falcons fan, unfortunately.
Oh, so you actually know that name. I was going with somebody that nobody had ever heard of.
No, I know who it is. I know all of them, and it's been a colossal disappointment.
He was great, though, but the team, yeah, for sure.
No, he was great. It's just our team. That's I was at that Super Bowl, Joe, where we lost that 28-3 game. Awful. I'm one of those people where it's like, put me in a Falcons coffin when I die.
Yeah.
Just so they can let me down one more time. That fucking team, man. I hate them.
Well, we both grew up Braves fans too, so it kind of runs in the blood there. Before we get off the air, I want to talk about just really quick the fact that Joe Thomas is, or at least should be, a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? I mean, I'm looking at it can be difficult to for the casual fan to quantify what a Hall of Famer offensive lineman looks like. I can tell you what it looks like. It looks like from 2007 until 2016, 16 games played, 16 games started, 16 games played, 16 games started. And it goes on like that for 10 fucking years, taking constant brutal damage to your head. The fucking broken fingers, all that bullshit, the fucking sore backs, eating goddamn 60,000 calories a day and training and all that shit. And, you know, showing up every single day to fucking play and putting up the kind of numbers you did is incredible. I mean, everybody that I've ever read about, like Clayton from ESPN, we all know that squirrely looking weird little guy, is pretty adamant about he's been kind of on the stump for you over the last couple of years. Anytime anybody's asking about John McClain in Houston is like, you know, Orlando Pace, Walter Jones, Jonathan Ogden. We all know these names now because they're all Hall of Famers. He's of the opinion that you were in that group. And honestly, you can't get more respect than that. That's the most respect you can get from a guy that's a Hall of Fame voter to say you're among the best that has ever done that job. So we really appreciate you coming on the show. Hopefully when you become eligible here soon, you will get all the votes, right? Because you deserve
it. Yeah,
them.
When is it? What year are you eligible to go in?
22? Yeah, it's 22, right? Or 23.
Yeah,
22 or 23. Is it the year? It's the year you actually file your retirement papers, right?
I haven't thought about it a whole lot, but I do know that it's like either 22 or 23 because I think I retired at 17.
Yeah.
But that was my last year.
Yeah, look, you'll be getting a gold jacket. I don't know who's doing your bust. I know they don't let you take a peek at it beforehand. Some of them have turned out weird, man. Hopefully yours is cool.
Do you remember that one they made of Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah, that's the best one ever.
It looked like his face was melting off or some shit.
Talk about an O-lineman unless you just screw up the bust like Ronaldo. So
yeah,
that's the dream.
It'd be the best. Tell everybody where they can find you and tell everybody about your new podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can check me out on the Tomahawk Show. You get it wherever you find your podcasts. We've slacked and we've only done one show this entire year, but you go back in the catalog and, you know, dig up the old good stuff. We got lots of fun Super Bowl stories, but my main gig is I work for NFL Network and you can find me on Twitter at JoeThomas73.
Just out of curiosity, do you guys rage when you're watching the game and you're not on air? Like, are people boozing behind the scenes in, like, the green room?
Like, before we go back on air?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, during the games. Because you always figure that it's, like, a party with, like, wings and beer and shit back there.
There's wings. There's no beer. They try not to get us too drunk before we go back out on TV because they, being the NFL, they don't want – their product sullied like maybe you would on a podcast.
Yeah, you remember
to mention any podcast by name. But, you know, they don't want a bunch of drunk stone people showing up on their podcast.
Hey, relax with the judgment. By the way, you remember Namath drunk as fuck trying to make out with that girl on the sidelines or whatever the fuck? You remember that shit?
Oh yeah.
So they're probably trying to avoid that. Yeah, right? They you don't need that. You don't need to grab people by the pussy in between live segments, right? Come on.
They don't
need
live TV.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember they had to wake up Michael Irvin for ESPN once to do a Cowboys story at like midnight. And you could tell he had just lit a new fresh bowl of crack. And it was like, shit, he had to go on air and was able to pull it together. But I always pictured everybody partying at that NFL studios. Are you out in L.A.?
Usually we're out in LA for Total Access, but for Thursday Night Football, which is the games that I do, they used to put us on location, but with COVID, they've got us all working from home now. Mm.
And where do you live?
Oh.
Where do I live? I live in Madison.
Oh, sweet. What part? Like, what's your address?
On the west side. I don't live near Wando's anymore.
West side's better. East side's all hippies and weirdos over there. Yeah.
East side is definitely the crunchy granola.
Oh, yeah. Crowd. Yeah, I lived over there for a while. It was weird.
I mean, I love those people, too, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we love – I mean, I lived there. I enjoyed it very much, but it's like my downstairs neighbors were two postdoctoral graduate students. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm in Madison. Sweet.
Showing off.
Yeah.
Man, this is awesome. Joe Thomas, we greatly appreciate it. Mm-hmm. In our opinion, you'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer here very, very soon. Thank you for your time today. Please check out his podcast, and you can always see him on the NFL Network. Last question. That's a dope lid. Who made that hat?
You know what? I don't even know. The Browns gave this to me this year because I'm a hunter. And
yeah.
I think it's a special edition. Like, I don't think you can buy this shit in stores.
Maybe it's a Richardson hat for sure, because I understand. I recognize the style. Yeah, if you look on the
Look at that. You're right.
It's Richardson. I'm very rarely wrong about that kind of stuff. Anyways, if you like to hunt, you should come down here. We'll get into helicopters, shoot some hogs from the helicopters with suppressed rifles and stuff. We'll have a good time. How about that? We'll take you out with Tim Kennedy and let him show you how to shoot a sniper rifle and stuff like that, and then you guys can fight to the death, because I'd love to see it.
It's a deal.
Yeah, there we
Let's
go.
Let's do it. Next time you see us, we will all be fighting for D'Anthony Holloway.
And on PCP.
Thomas. I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Sports. Good night, everyone.
We're going to have to change the name of the show to Drinking Bros PCP.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.